The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We are very grateful. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Still to come this hour, Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball. Paul Carr about to join us for some Champions League. I should probably read some tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jesse Welch. Man, what a day for most wins by the end of April for our Guardians. Yankees, Dodgers, Pirates, Brewers all lose. And Cleveland takes down the Marathon Monday from the Sox. Oh, yes. Aware of all of it. And it has got me so locked into baseball, this bet. It's incredible. We'll update the standings here momentarily.
It's a great bet to start the season because it just brings
locks you in.
It locks you in immediately to
Absolutely.
Track in baseball.
Absolutely.
When there's so much other stuff going on, too.
And then I worry what happens May 1st. Do I just check out? I'm like, oh, that was fun.
No, you won't because it'll be one of the few things actually going on.
That's right. Jason H11, here's a summary of the MGM app. Oh, he doesn't like it. He said, iPhone facial recognition doesn't work. The iPad thumb recognition doesn't work. Betting options that are half or two-thirds of the other two. Big ones, DK, and the other one.
Doesn't make me a bad person to say I'm glad to hear there's people outside of Nevada having issues.
Nope. Nope. A wolf named Wayne. Sometimes when the numbers for your tennis bets have gotten away from us, I will wait for the match to start, and if our opponent takes the first game, you can jump on with a better number. There you go. Brad Billups wants to talk more baseball. We will with Paul Spohr coming up, I promise. Bill Hooker, it's a scavenger hunt sometimes to find your tennis bets because you got to click on your name, I think is what he's saying. So he wants more accessibility to them. And then, oh, this is a great one. This is from Jason. Drew, ask for the name of the sushi place before you agree to another segment. Paul Carr joins us from the Heartland to talk Champions League with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast, and of course, he works at True Media Networks, spreading the analytics gospel across North American sports. I believe that's your company motto, is it not, Paul?
Yeah, close enough. We'll go with it.
Yeah, we go. Sure.
Okay. Close.
All right. And Gil, I have to ask.
Oh, yes.
Do you know
please.
What team has the best run differential in baseball?
That would be the Kansas City Royals.
The mighty Kansas City Royals.
Edging the Cleveland Guardians. I know.
Right.
Yes. This is how obsessed I am with this bet that every night I will update.
Yeah, Paul, this is how he knows because he writes them down every single night.
No, because I want to see how screwed we get at the end, right? We're going to be the best. Yeah. I'm just borrowing them for a month, Adam Burke. Just borrowing the tribe for a month. I'll give them back May 1st. It's the Royals. It's the Royals who, by the way, are in this as well. They are the fly in the ointment I didn't expect, the Kansas City Royals.
My annual Bobby Witt MVP bet looking good right now.
It actually is. It sure is.
Yeah.
By the way,
I got it plus 2000. Last I looked, it was plus 700. So
quietly, a little known player by the name of Mike Trout, also a co-leader in the home run race, should be pointed out.
Yeah.
But Bobby Witt having a great start to the season. All right. So this is the second leg of the Champions League quarterfinals. First leg, we had couple draws, Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Man City. You called one of those, right?
Let's see. Madrid, Man City had the draw. Yeah, that was the one I got. Arsenal, Bayern had the under, and that ended after 3 minutes or something ridiculous.
Yeah, that wasn't fun.
It was a bad week for unders.
That's right, it was. Barcelona beat PSG 3-2. That's Barcelona, Kelly, by the way. And Atletico Madrid beat Dortmund 2-1. So those were the results in the first leg. Now explain to the party people out there, as we always do, what that means for the second leg. What is the thing you have to watch out for now?
Yeah, it's aggregate goals. So it's total goals over the two legs. So in the case of the draws, it's fairly straightforward. In that you win, you advance, you draw, you go to extra time. But it gets weird in things like Barcelona PSG, where Barcelona is completely fine with a draw because they will go through. So that's where you'll see the numbers get a little wonky when a draw is enough to put a team through.
It gets weird. Got a little weird, didn't it, Goldfinger?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, at the end. Okay. So that said, you have thoughts on all four. Let's begin with today's two matches. Let's begin with Barcelona and PSG. Once again, just to update where the score is, Barcelona won that first leg 3-2.
This one should be maybe the most fun of the four, just from a pure entertainment standpoint, because the first one, again, it was 3-2. neither team has a lot of teeth in the midfield. You know, they don't have that enforcer type. So it was wide open with lots of people running free. Barcelona, one of their starting center backs is out, suspended, out of midfielder out, suspended, and Christensen and Sergio Roberto. So that should make things even a little more open. And I just think that's what this one's going to be like too. Kylian Mbappe is on PSG. Expect him to, you know, do what he does, run free, get a goal. You know, he's roughly even money for a goal, which is just tells you the likelihood there. So I just think one way or another, we're going to get goals here. I could see this going either way. If I had to pick a side, I'd probably lean Barcelona a little bit, but I'm just playing the over 3.5 at +110. I just think one way or another, this is like a 3-1 type of game, could go either way. 2-2 would be fine with Barcelona. So I think we get goals here.
All right, we get goals. Barcelona PSG over 3.5, short plus money there for Paul. And then the other one is the Dortmund Atletico Madrid match, which again, first leg of this, Atletico Madrid won 2-1.
Yeah, and Atletico got a couple early goals because Dortmund kind of forgot how to pass the ball at the back and gave Atletico a couple easy chances. Once Dortmund finally started pouring it on the last 15, 20 minutes, they looked pretty good. They got one goal, could have easily gotten another. They're going home, which is one of the most intimidating environments to play in all of Europe. I just think Dortmund gets this done here. And by get this done, I mean win the game in 90 minutes. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to advance. This is a to win the game bet at +125 that I have. So if they win, say, 1-0 or 2-1, we go to extra time, but you win that 90-minute bet.
Okay, good clarification. Now let's go to tomorrow, Bayern and Arsenal. By the way, Kelly, Bayern and Dortmund, you know what league they're in, by the way?
That would be, oh my God, why am I blanking on it right now? The Bundesliga!
That's what I wanted to hear him say.
The Bundesliga!
I just wanted to hear him say it. I love how he says it. All right, so in terms of the Bayern-Arsenal game tomorrow, which, again, was a 2-2 draw in the first leg, you don't have a play in this one?
Nothing yet. I kind of lean Arsenal on the whole. The big question mark here is Martin Odegaard in midfielder for Arsenal. It looked like he wasn't going to play. Today it's kind of looking like he is, but the game's not till tomorrow, so we're not really sure. So I'm staying away from this. It's a weird game because Bayern historically is the team you trust and Arsenal's the team you don't. For most of this season, it's been the other way around. But then Arsenal laid an egg in the Premier League this weekend, losing to Aston Villa. Bayern, you know, looked pretty good, got a couple goals against Arsenal in the first leg. So I'm staying away for now. Bayern has a lot of injuries. Arsenal may have a couple key guys out. So I'm staying away, though. I lean Arsenal on the whole, even though this one's in Germany.
The way that Kelly says Bundesliga, it's sort of like shudder. I guess shudder goes down my spine. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? All right. And then it's Man City and Real Madrid, which, again, that resulted in a 3-3 tie in the first leg. You do have a thought on this one, and you do have a play.
I do. This game was drunk, really. I mean, there was 3-3, but the total expected goals were 1.5. You know, there were deflected goals. City's three goals all came from outside the box.
Jeez.
It's one of those where, like, everything goes in. Great finishes all around. It was very entertaining. Bad if you had the under, but obviously good if you had the draw. I mean, I'm not going out on a limb here, but I like City just to win this one. You know, they just have to win to advance. Last year, these teams drew in Madrid in the first leg, and the City won the second leg 4-0. Now, it wasn't, they got a couple at the end when Madrid just was desperately pushing forward, but City really controlled that game. I think we'll see more of the same here. The front line for City is all healthy. And yeah, they've scored multiple goals in 18 of their 23 home games this season. So they, you know, they just get things done. And despite Madrid's talent, really good coaching, Ancelotti can know what to do. I just think City, especially if they get Kyle Walker, one of their better defenders, back, I just think they find a way to win this one in regulation. So I took the City win at -155.
All right. So to review, Barcelona PSG, the over 3.5 today. Dortmund and Atletico, you got Dortmund beating them, plus money, +125. Dortmund over Atletico today. And then tomorrow, Man City to win outright against Real Madrid. You'll have to lay a little juice on that one, but you got Man City there. Okay. Is there a play to win the Champions League in the outright market that you like right now, or are you staying away from that?
I mean, all the teams on the, I'll call it the weak side of the bracket, all those odds are pretty decent. It just kind of depends which way you want to go, because one of those teams obviously has to get to the final. So, you know, if you think, for example, PSG is going to come through in Madrid, you can get a PSG price at +1400, which is pretty crazy. There's not one I particularly love, but I think you could justify anybody on that half. You know, Atletico plus, what is it, +800, +900, something in that range that you can get, and they're, you know, ahead going into this game. you want to get nuts and take Dortmund plus 3,500? You know, it's not terrible because I think they can easily win this game. They're about 2-1 to advance, and then there'll be a slight underdog in that next round. So there's nobody I love. I do have a PSG. I had a PSG 10-1 before the first leg, so that price doesn't look great now, but that's the one I'm just kind of standing on right now.
All right. Premier League, same question. Nothing right now?
I mean, this is the time. I like an Arsenal option more than City. I think Arsenal's like plus 340, give or take. I have an Arsenal future already from preseason. So I think Liverpool, they may have just run their course with the injuries. Sorry, Felica. But City's the clear favorite. But if you need to take a shot, Arsenal is the way I would look there.
Oh, he's listening. He just heard that. Shots fired.
Angry text incoming.
Man City, a 2-point lead currently over both Arsenal and Liverpool with 6 matches to go in the Premier League. One off-league soccer comment. Let's go Crawley Town today. This is huge.
Oh,
yeah.
Where are they at?
They're taking on Barrow, is it? Barrow in in Football League 2, Kelly. This is big for some of us around here because our buddy Preston Johnson is the owner of this team, and this has huge implications in terms of, I don't know, what is it, moving up to the next league? Or, he did it all by...
Trying to get up to League 1.
Trying to get up to League 1. A owner that was criticized and reviled when he first got there for being a Yankee owner who was trying all these new tactics, and now through Moneyball, look at them now. Come on, Crawley.
Let's go, Crawley.
That's for Preston and Jason and all those guys. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back. NFL Draft with Kelly and me next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by DraftKings, live from Bar Canada, right here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. By the way, VSiN.com, the new website. Man, oh man, best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, and front and center, Kelly. VSiN.com today, Steve Mackinnon on potential money-making starting pitchers in Major League Baseball, followed up closely by Zach Cohen's playoff preview of the Suns and the Timberwolves series.
Playoffs,
previews, picks, predictions. Zach Cohen all over the website, as is JVT, because he's got his NBA thoughts. Where are you, Kelly Bidlin?
Somewhere in one of Zach's articles.
Embedded?
Yeah.
Kelly's embedded. VSiN.com. Check it out. By the way, add Boogie Cousins to the list of folks who have a problem with Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year. According to the Dunk Central on Twitter, DeMarcus Cousins has called out voters who repeatedly vote for Rudy Gobert as MVP, stating that Gobert is, quote, not that great defensively. Quote, you can't have a potential 4-time Defensive Player of the Year who doesn't finish games. I'm never going to be okay with this. I see things in black and white. If you're the best defender on the best defensive team, you should never be off the floor. There should never be a scenario where you're not able to fit into the scheme. That doesn't make sense. How do we keep awarding this guy who can't even stay on the floor in the playoffs? This is mind-blowing to me. God, I wish he had a vote. It's just, the problem is then you see the T-Wolves Twitter yesterday put out like the initial, the first like 6 confirmed voters came out.
Yeah. There's
6 were Naz Reid, by the way, for 6 man. And 4 out of the 6, I believe, were Gobert over Wembanyama.
I'm already mad I didn't bet that. Remember Naz Reid when we had to do a double take on the graphic on Friday?
Yes.
I
was like, why did it go the other way?
We brought it up for like a week and a half and like I never bet it. I think he's going to run away with that.
Did we have it available here in town?
Yeah, I think so.
Caesars, I think.
Yeah, probably MGM Caesars probably had that up. It's the only part of what we're laughing about is
Boogie's so mad.
Well, it's
he's me mad.
Okay, players that got dominated by another guy shouldn't be talking.
Like, that's great.
Boogie Cousins just had to check it up.
Cue the highlight reel of Boogie getting blocked by Gobert.
Right, exactly. Like, Boogie, how's the Taiwan Beer Leopards team going right now? Because Rudy Gobert sent you all the way over to Taiwan. I mean, like, that's... you know me. I'm all for the Victor Wembanyama cases, but I don't know about the guys that went up against him for years and didn't beat him very often.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point, Kelly. I want to ask you what I asked Drew about the NFL draft, because this 4.5 quarterbacks thing. Because I'm going through all these aggregated all the latest mock drafts from all the draft experts, and it's. Besides, like, the Jaguars picking a corner, besides the Falcons going with defense and specifically going with Dallas Turner at 8, and obviously Caleb Williams at the top, and perhaps Jaden Daniels, but even Jaden Daniels is not consensus. Those are the only things that it seems like everybody knows. Besides that, everybody's got something different.
Yeah. And that's, I think we brought it up for a second when we were talking about this, but like, that's like Dallas Turner, that's the sole reason I've made that bet, by the way, is that like every single
100%. That was the Jaguars right. cornerback yeah. bet. Same thing. 100% have this. Okay. So if you go, let me just go through these one by one, and it's only like four or five of them, but like Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News, your boy Vinny,
mm-hmm.
he's got Brock Bowers going to the Chargers at 5.
Yeah. I mean that sounds as early as he could be drafted, and I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in the second round either.
And then he has Bo Nix going 12 to the Broncos. Now, his last mock, it should be noted, was April 1st.
Oh, add him to the list. If you knew where Brock Bowers, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix were going to go draft, you could make so much money.
Brock Bowers is the one guy I don't think I'm getting involved with.
I don't think so either.
All right, the last one from Mel Kiper was April 10th, 6 days ago. He finally punted on the idea of there being 5 quarterbacks. So he's only got 4 quarterbacks now in his first round mock, his latest. He has J.J. McCarthy going 5 via trade to the Vikings. So
that is interesting.
And he's got Brock Bowers going 10 to the Jets, which is pretty consensus.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds more likely at this point if Brock Bowers goes early, it's to the Jets. But, man, I still think they're going offensive line.
Daniel Jeremiah, after Caleb, Drake, and Jaden. He's got Washington taking Drake May and New England taking Jaden Daniels. Then he's got Minnesota via trade going to 4 to draft J.J. McCarthy. He's got Marvin Harrison going 5 to the Jets via trade. Because apparently the Chargers are going to stare Marvin Harrison Jr. in the face and say, we'll trade out. That's what Daniel Jeremiah, who, by the way, is great at this, that's what he's got. But I can't get into the trades. He's got a million trades in his mock, by the way.
So, wait, say the ones he had at the top again?
He has Minnesota trading to 4 with Arizona to draft McCarthy. He's got the Jets trading to 5 with the Chargers to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, wait, there's more. Okay. Then he's got the Chargers, who traded with the Jets, taking an offensive lineman that is not named Joe Alt, because Joe Alt will have been gone by that point at 10. He'll take Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. And then the Cardinals, with that trade with the Vikings, will take Jared Verse, who, by the way, had no idea he was playing exhibition football last year. They'll take him at 11 from FSU.
Every time, man.
Every time. I'm never going to not say that. Just warning all of you. It's kind of like Hootie on steroids. And by the way, he's got Brock Bowers going to Denver at 12. He also is the only guy that has Michael Penix going in the first round. He has the Raiders taking him at 13. Oh, come on. Is that going to happen?
I'll stand by. I am far more I don't know if I should say far.
If I see Antonio Pierce at the building, I'm going to walk around Delicious and I'm going to ask him, "Are you going to take Michael Penix?"
I did see a report yesterday about the Raiders their interest in quarterbacks peaking or skyrocketing or something.
Really
like
going to take him at 13? I mean, it would be the most Raiders thing to do, though.
It would be the most Raiders thing to do.
Let us overdraft someone.
The only part of that, though, I can't get my head around is just the age part, right? Like, Michael Penix checks every other box to me.
His arm is phenomenal.
Yes.
But he's 24.
But he's 24 years old.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic, Dane Brugler. He's got a Caleb Drake Jaden at the top. Then he does have Marvin Harrison. Then he's got Roma Dunze going to the Bears via trade at 5, followed by Malik Nabers to the Giants, followed by J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota via trade at 7. Oh, jeez. So Brock Bowers, by the way, goes to Denver at 12. So I guess what I'm saying is, again, the only thing that everybody has consensus is Caleb at the top, Jaguars drafting a cornerback, Atlanta taking Dallas Turner at 8. Those are literally the only three things that are consensus. But the quarterbacks thing to me is still the most interesting.
It's seemingly Minnesota trading. Like, everybody's mocking Minnesota to trade now. Like, what? I feel like we haven't gotten any more hearted reports of, okay, where are they going to trade? When are they going to trade? Have they literally called, Cardinals, Chargers, and let them know about their plans to trade on draft night, and they're just going to see What happens then?
I just feel like your bets have to almost bet against trades. I just think if you're betting on a trade, what are we doing?
I don't know. I think that's basically how I've betted so far. But like that's where, admittedly, like a lot of my bets early on, both of ours could be blown up by that stuff.
100%. That's
why I said, and I both have different picks at number five. Neither one of them could happen.
I made my conservative bet on the Jaguars. I made my frisky ones yesterday. I'm going to make conservative bets now today. And that will probably wrap it up for me. Just, again, the quarterbacks thing at 4.5. I've made the case here this morning that I actually think the value is now on the under at large plus money. I am not convinced that Penix or Nix is going in the first round. Sure, could a team go quarterback crazy like they always do? And by the way, again, you're nothing in this league without one. So I get why teams go quarterback crazy. But again, a brief historical review. We did this a few weeks ago of quarterbacks drafted since the year 2020. Remember, 2020 was the Boone draft. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Love, Hurts. They're all playing in this league and they've all had good careers. Great ones, in fact, in some cases. But since then, since Trevor Lawrence was picked with the first pick of the 2021 draft, and Trevor Lawrence, we'll see. But since then, these are quarterbacks drafted. 2021, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Those are at the top of the draft, 2 and 3. Justin Fields, Mac Jones. These are first rounders. 2022, the only first rounder was Kenny Pickett. Let's go beyond that in 2022. Ridder, Willis, Corral, Zappi, Howell. By the way, only saved by Brock Purdy being the last pick in the draft.
What was the first round total? Like 3.5 or something like that on quarterbacks? Like it wasn't even close.
So teams did get that year, 2022, 2 years ago, they did wake up before the draft and say, wait a minute, we're crazy. These guys stink.
I think this will be a great topic for JVT tomorrow.
I didn't mention Skylar Thompson or Chris Olatokun, who were also drafted. 2023 last year. Okay. I don't know if you know this, but Bryce Young was the first pick in the draft, and I still can't get over it. Then CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson. Okay. So take Stroud and Richardson as, okay, we'll see about Richardson, but Stroud already great. But Young, Levis, Hooker, Hayner, Bennett, O'Connell, Toon, DTR, Clifford, Hall, Tanner McKee, Duggan. I mean, to say that this is an inexact science almost offends the fact that it's a crap science. Mm-hmm. So few actually get there, and because of the tantalizing nature of a Burrow, right, or a Herbert, it just makes these teams dream. I think they wake up round one and don't draft Nix or Penix. We'll see. Baseball next with Paul Spohr.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And then Kelly, Will Hill says to me, yours is the last show I'm going to appear on live in person. Oh, sorry. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Why don't you? Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. By the way, Will Hill was on Sharp Money yesterday, and I think he's going to be on every other show. And then tomorrow he'll be with us, I'm told.
He's a popular guy, man. Yeah, he's like the Samo Bomb. They're on every show.
Samo Bomb.
That's what happens. They're good. They're good guys to have on.
Yeah, man.
I understand it.
Can't wait for that. Okay. Can I just put this up first before we get to Spohr? This is the updated for those who have jumped on the Guardians bed. Again, this was posted by Circa. Shout out to Circa for putting this up. Most wins March and April. Remember the March part of this, there was like 3 or 4 games at the beginning of March, unless you were the Dodgers or Padres, where you already had 2 games in hand because of your 2 games in Korea. And so, again, this is a different sort of bet, like my Braves won a couple years ago to win the division, where I bet it every day. This was just, I always love baseball bets because it requires sort of a little bit of multidimensional thinking. And so with the Guardians, the price was 65-1. To me, that was a number you had to bet. Their schedule was such that they played the Athletics 7 times. They played the White Sox 3 times. And I didn't have the Red Sox rated very highly. They played them 7 times. At least that's what the schedule was moving forward. So to me, based on schedule alone, I believed that that was a great bet at 65-1. Now, along the way, and this is with the Dodgers having a couple games in hand as well.
I forgot what number you got on. Were the Dodgers big favorites in that market?
The Dodgers were the short shot.
Okay.
Not only because they have the two games in hand, right, because they're the Dodgers. Yeah. By the way, they split those games in Korea. So here's the deal. The tiebreaker is fewest losses. If you end up tied in wins, the tiebreaker is fewest losses. Along the way now, the Guardians have lost Shane Bieber to Tommy John surgery. And I'm about to say we. And they've lost a game due to weather in Minnesota. Part of the handicap on this was also that they didn't play a home game in Cleveland until April 8th. That was my way of trying to minimize the effects of weather. But we still got in Minnesota. So one, basically, teams either have 14 or 13 games remaining. The Guardians, because of that loss of a game, have 13. They're in the 13 pool. But right now, they are in second place here at the middle of April with 15 days left and either 14 or 13 games left, respectively. 13 for the Guardians. Second place behind the New York Yankees, who took a series from the Guardians over the weekend, two games out of three, which featured a dramatic Guardians comeback on Sunday, down 3-0 and also down 7-5, though they were an out away from winning in the ninth, I should point out. And then a really bad called strike in game one against Florian Estival that probably decided that game and the Guardians prevented the Guardians from having a chance. Anyway, here we are. This is awesome. Either way, it's a great bet. Let's get it home.
Let's go, man.
Paul Sporer joins us, ladies and gentlemen, at Sporer from FanGraphs, the greatest baseball Bible there ever has been. A Sleeper in the Bus podcast. He joins courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm doing very well. How about you guys?
I'm well. Are you excited for my Guardians bet? Are you excited by this?
Absolutely. I like the Guards, man. You know, I was of the mind that every central team has a case except for the White Sox, of course. So those other four, you can make a really strong case for them this year. Royals looking strong as a nice little upstart. My Tigers are at least pitching well. Twins are fine. And the Guards are kind of one of the hottest teams coming out of the gates.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. Sucks about Bieber. Pitching is usually the thing. I'll tell you what, though, the reason that you're in this and feeling good so far is their hitting's really stepped
yes,
up.
Yes. Yes. Hitting has stepped up for sure. And, They're a very complete baseball team. We knew they'd be a complete baseball team, and because of the short runway and the schedule and all the other factors, including weather, I just thought it was a good bet. So we shall see if that gets there, but every night this is an obsession. You brought up the White Sox. God, they're bad. Like, they are really bad. We have a few bad teams. Chris Felica was talking about the Marlins to get the worst record when all is said and done this year. Still 25-1. They're 3-14. Obviously, the Marlins, Rockies, and White Sox are the worst three teams in baseball record-wise thus far. Would you make a 25-1 bet on the Marlins to have the worst record when all is said and done?
I think it's viable. I mean, they just sent out their best pitcher, too, in Max Meyer. And I don't think it's entirely, you know, contract manipulation type stuff. He was never going to just be up and ready to go you know, entirely for the whole year coming off TJ. In fact, it was a kind of a surprise that Max Meyer broke camp, but they had so many injuries that they just kind of had to. I think we could actually see something similar with Casey Mize in Detroit. We'll see how they handle him. He had kind of that extended return from TJ. But yeah, I mean, you look at this Marlins team, they can't hit for anything. So they have some good pitching. They got some guys coming back. 25-1 is enough to take a look. I don't think it's going to come in, which... how many bets should you really do that if you don't think they're going to come in? But I think the odds are pretty good considering where this team, you know, some people had them making the playoffs again this year.
Yeah. By the way, last night, and we had a transcriber on, the Dodgers are actually 11-8. The Dodgers were 11-8, not 11-7. I actually transcribed it wrong. My bad, Kelly. They're 11-8, which for the Dodgers doesn't sound all that dominant and really, sure, quite frankly, isn't. And last night, depending on where you looked, they were either north or just south of a $4 favorite against the Washington Nationals, and the Natties took them down because it seems like in our lifetime, whenever there is a team that is flirting with or either exceeds a $4 favorite in any one baseball game, the dog always seems to come home. It's really unbelievable.
We've talked about this before.
We have.
I think in the context of the Dodgers and how we would never take the Dodgers then. No. We would take any team. We would take a AAA team. I think we had gotten so far as to saying, just because the simple odds of it are, you know, you keep hammering that all year, that's the right move when it gets that high. And like you said, you know, they haven't shown the outward over the top dominance. Now, I understand why it got that high yesterday. You got Tyler Glass now pitching some of the best baseball that we've seen out of him versus somebody who may or may not be a real player named Mitchell Parker. I can't confirm or deny. He has a picture here, but AI is very handy these days. No shade to Mitchell Parker. Went out there, threw a gem, 5 innings, 2 runs on 4 hits, no walks, 4 Ks. And Glasnow got knocked around a little bit, obviously against expectation there. But yeah, I'm never taking a $4 favorite. I'm barely taking a $3 favorite ever, to be quite honest.
Two questions. What's your cat's name? Cat is making an appearance behind your right shoulder.
That is another dog.
Oh, it's a dog. I'm sorry. It was a dog.
That is Henry.
Oh, Henry. I thought it was a cat when I looked.
I just stabbed my head up. I was like, I haven't seen a cat before.
Henry.
No cat. I'm allergic to cats. That's Henry. He's a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. He's a real sweetheart. He's hanging around. I don't know where Charlotte is, but yeah, they're both here. My girlfriend works in the office on Monday and Tuesday, so the dogs actually hang out with me.
We have a history of Paul Sport dog appearances on this show. Charlotte once vomited while we were doing a hit on this show.
And I had to prevent her from eating it.
Yeah, that's right. And it was you were multitasking very well. So by the way, if you are a Dodgers fan, I assume there's no reason to panic, but there is reason for concern, right? Like the back end of the lineup isn't spectacular and the pitching has holes.
Yeah, but it's the full season grind, and I know I'm going to have to update my reference at some point because I keep going back to, like, load management Spurs, and obviously the Spurs haven't been good in quite some time, but I'm thinking of the peak Spurs there where they kind of coasted through the season, still would get a top seed. That's kind of where I think the Dodgers are these days, though. Like, they know it's $1.62 with the 6 months. They just lost Bobby Miller, which is nerve-wracking because they're pitching for a team that like them, that, you know, are they going to win 120? No, they're not, by the way. But, like, you know, that was the kind of chatter before the season. They didn't quite have the rotation on lock to garner that kind of talk, in my opinion. You've got Glasnow, who's never thrown more than 120 innings. Bobby Miller going into a sophomore campaign. Yamamoto coming over from halfway across the world. And then rookies and retreads, you know, Gavin Stone, who I really like, Michael Grove, and then James Paxton. How many innings can he get? What's Kershaw going to be? So a lot of questions in the pitching for a team that is expected to easily clear 100 plus wins. That said, they probably still will, just by sheer virtue of their overwhelming force of volume of talent, right? They have made it so that they can lose a Bobby Miller and barely flinch. Michael Grove and Ryan Yarbrough will do tandem starts. And I'm not saying that they'll be Bobby Miller, but they'll be pretty darn good. You know, they gave away Michael Bush to the Cubs and they do not feel it. 26-year-old just mashing homers 5 games in a row. You mentioned the bottom half of their lineup could be better, sure, and maybe he would be at second, kicking the ball around and hitting homers instead of Gavin Lux, but they do not feel that loss by just giving him away. They're so deep.
And I just want to mention, you're right, they probably will flirt with 100, but they also flirt with 60 wins. They will lose that many times, you know.
60 losses, yes.
Yeah. All right, real quick, DFS, rapid fire. What do you got?
So a lot of pitching today that I'm definitely interested in. Jared Jones against the Mets. They've been hitting a little bit better, but I love what Jones is doing. Tanner Bibee, somebody I really like. And then attack, you know, go with those Dodgers against Patrick Corbin. Hunter Brown looks horrendous. Pick up your Braves. Braves Dodgers, pretty obvious, but I'm just going to play the chalk today and keep it simple.
All right. Let's go, Guardians. Let's get it done. Paul Spohr at Spohr. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
It's been a great numbers game moment when he is, I'm peppering him with Astros questions and he's trying to prevent his dog from eating his vomit. Kelly on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sports app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, hanging out at Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D. We get tweets, Kelly. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Yeah, we do.
Johnny Ringo, Kelly Bidlin, sour rooter of the year. Sorry your state can't figure out the apps. He called you a sour rooter. That's Crack's name for the folks who hang around the slot machines and root for you to lose so they can, or root for you to go away so they can jump in.
Who am I rooting for to lose?
I don't know what
he meant. Probably mentioned that a couple times throughout the show.
Forrest Lehman's whole tweet is Nas. He's very excited about Nas Reed winning. Jordan Pagel. I saw Turner was minus 175 early last week to be the first defensive player drafted. And now, last I saw, he was down to minus 115. But I don't feel like I've heard a lot of steam on anyone else. Am I missing something?
Great point.
You are not.
Great point, because I thought I saw the same things with the odds. So that helps verify I did see the same thing with the odds.
That's a great point, because there's a lot of... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The only speculation is that one of these corners could possibly go way higher than we think is going to happen. That's all I've heard. Although I completely agree, though. It's weird.
But it is what you have pointed out, Jordan, here is a great way to say why it is that we love the draft so much. Again, it's different from other things because it's information based. So it's really a Googling contest, if you really want to boil it down to something. But it's like, take the Knicks and Penix point that I was making earlier, where I have now absolutely decided that the value is on the under 4.5. If you look at those guys individually in their first round markets, aren't both of them favorites to not go in the first round? Dogs to go in the first round, in other words?
Oh, I've got it right in front of me. Hold on.
So again, the incongruence of those things.
Right. I mean, you circuit draft positions right now, they're over 32, both of them.
I'm saying.
Penix minus 115. Bo Nix plus 130.
3-Jack, H3131. The only mock draft I care about is where Odunze goes to the G-men. Is there such a thing as a conservative bet? As a Bears fan, I'm not excited about Williams. Already looking forward to the next draft class of quarterbacks. Shout out to Delicious. Yeah, Delicious got some run on the show today.
She did.
Let's see. Jesse Welch. Can I bet on Stroud to go first overall in this year's draft? You guys see that out there anywhere?
Are you ever not going to be mad about that?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
Nope.
Like, me neither. Never.
Brian Schaefer.
Or like, Bryce Young, you better pick it up for me to not be mad about this for the rest of my life.
Brian Schaefer, watch out for the Phillies in that win April May bet. Look at their schedule coming up if they sweep the... Oh, I need punctuation, Brian. By the way, it's not an April May. It's a March April.
Reminder, grammar and punctuation is very important.
I'm going to read...
Gil on the fly.
I'm going to read Brian's tweet without punctuation. You ready for this? Sorry, Brian. Didn't mean to make fun. Watch out for the Phillies in that win April May bet. Look at their schedule coming up. If they sweep the Rockies and White Sox, they will be in that race with the Indians and Yanks. Oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
That's not as bad. You know what that sounds like, though? That sounds like the voice to text. I'm in the car. Like, I'm gonna voice to text it to you.
Brian, if it was in April May, I would watch out for the Phillies. But it is a March April. And the Phillies, just to let you know, they're not far behind. You're right about that. The Phillies feel like they're doing the Phillies thing where they're just in the weeds. They're 9-8. You know, they got a lot of wins too. But they feel like they're doing that Phillies thing where they just kind of, you know, hang out, play possum, and then once the postseason comes around, they destroy you. That's the Phillies thing.
What are your quick thoughts on the Baltimore Orioles? Because
that they're awesome.
Yeah, Dustin and I were talking about a bit on Sunday about it, and he was jumping in on the Orioles like at 11-1. I think current odds is where he betted at, and he just made the case. He loves the team. Thinks this is about the longest price you're probably going to see on them.
He's
all
probably
season.
Right. Orioles are 10
might
and six.
Be jumping in.
Orioles are 10-6. Yankees are 12-5 in that division.
We have
ruined Mount Castle for everyone from Primetime Action. Every time we did Primetime Action, me, Kelly, and Matt Brown, it was amazing how many nights Ryan Mountcastle would do something offensively for the Orioles. And then
so
Matt
weird.
Would shout out, Mountcastle, just like that. I think the Orioles are great. I think their offense is just ridiculously great. And I think they are a postseason team, for sure.
I think I might be jumping on that bet.
Yeah. Can I just ask you real quick before you get your play-in thoughts here?
Sure.
Should I not be making a Denver Nuggets to win the NBA championship bet right now?
Ooh, good question.
Who's beating them? Honestly, who's beating them?
Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks are going to beat
them? I'm not going to say sit here and say that. The Nuggets should have plus 280 at DraftKings right now for them.
Of the Mavericks.
Wow, you're really talking about Celtics plus 160. This is kind of crazy. I haven't looked at these odds a little bit. Celtics plus 160, Nuggets plus 280, and then you drop down to the Clippers at 12-1.
See, I kind of believe that, though.
Yeah.
I know you basketball heads like to come up with teams like the Clippers and the Mavericks and stuff, but I'll take Jokic.
I mean,
I'll take Jokic, and you all can take the field.
I mean, I'm definitely more confident about the Celtics being there than the Nuggets, but that's not not a knock against Denver. It is just the strength of the Western Conference.
Although I will say I don't love that number. Like, that's not nearly sexy enough.
For how strong the Western Conference is, I don't think you can bet it at that number.
I would agree.
And look, part of the reason I say the Mavericks, too, is because of the path, right? They would avoid Denver all the way, all the way until the Western Conference Finals.
What's the big upset in the first round? Obviously, we don't know all the series yet. Of the four that exist now, let's put it that way.
It's really easy for me to sit here and say Pacers over the Bucks. I'm trying to think.
Glad you fired Adrian Griffin and hired Doc.
This is
obviously different, but I'll say it again. They were 30-13, and they all decided that he wasn't good enough for them, and they hired Doc. And they went 17-19, and now this.
I mean, look, I'm in on the Mavericks.
By the way, for those who missed it, Giannis is out game one. We should probably point that out again.
I don't really know. I'm more interested to see what the status is going to be with Kawhi, because I think he's more. I think Giannis is going to miss more games than Kawhi is, and I don't know how many that means. Might mean one. It might mean two. But man, the Clippers been a lot more cagey with what's going on with Kawhi, and when he could be back.
Let me phrase this differently. If I told you either the Mavericks or Clippers won that series, you wouldn't be surprised either way, right?
Not necessarily, but I'm pretty heavily invested in the Mavericks in that series.
Okay, but if the Clippers won, you wouldn't be.
No. If Kawhi Leonard's playing every game and they win the series, I'm not being.
Pacers, Bucks. Obviously, if Giannis came back and the Bucks won, you wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Okay, if he didn't and the Pacers won, you wouldn't be surprised. Suns, Timberwolves, you wouldn't be surprised either way.
No, I think my bet on that's over 5.5 games, so I think it's going long.
So the only thing of those series that are intact so far, first round. The only thing you'd be surprised by is if the Magic beat the Cavs?
No.
You wouldn't even be surprised by that?
I wouldn't be surprised by that. No. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Okay.
I think that I wanted to ask Drew about this, actually, but we were trying to get a bunch of things in with him. You're hearing a lot of people have some hesitation over Donovan Mitchell's health. There's the small sample size. Drew really didn't seem concerned about it. I'm kind of in the middle because he did. Once he kind of came back from the injury, he was out for a couple weeks. It was a rough few games back, but then the last few he just played put up pretty good numbers and played a healthy amount of minutes. So I think you should assume he's fine, kind of like Drew's clearly thinking he's completely fine. And if that's the case, I think Cleveland's going to be is going to be too much for Orlando. But man, if there's any. If Mitchell's has any, you know, any effect from that injury still, Orlando's got the guys to guard him. They could make things. They could muck that up and make it interesting.
All right, tonight, Lakers, Pelicans. Pelicans favored by 1.5 in the 7-8. And the Warriors and the Kings in the 9-10 with the Warriors 2-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, I think where these numbers are moved, they're pretty accurate right now. I do have a Warriors bet, but I made -120 on the money line. That was basically right around the opener. So yes, I would still lean Golden State way at 2.5. I think it could be ugly tonight. Actually, if you wanted to play some alts on Golden State,
really?
I think this could be the Kings
happen.
Know it's over. See you later, sort of game tonight. You know, great season, but we ran into some injuries.
I thought they were supposed to be the next great thing. Remember last year, everybody just loved them so much.
Great team. I think they're going to continue to be the conversation that's going to continue to start to occur here with Sacramento is, are they ever going to be good enough as a playoff team? Because Sabonis in the playoffs versus the regular season is a different animal. Yeah. I like Golden State tonight. Look, the Lakers, I bet the Lakers pretty heavily on Sunday at like +3.5 on the opener. Drew was talking about that line movement a little bit earlier. I would still lean that way for the game tonight. Where the number's at is where I would have it at though right now. So it might be a Lakers live look for me tonight, but I don't know if I'm going to end up getting involved.
I'm glad the play-ins and the playoffs are here. I think I speak for the non-basketball hardos like yourself and JVT. Like, okay, thank you, regular season. That was fun. Now let's get to it. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.